Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Did WWE just ruin Money in the Bank? I'm Ollie Davis. I'm joined by housemate Simon.
Hey. Hello.
Say hi in the housemate Simon section, everyone. It's of course because Luke and Laurie made the valiant effort of staying up all night last night to watch the Money in the Bank live streams. But that hasn't stopped Randy Andy Datsun, who's also joining us from WrestleTalk.com.
Well, amazingly, because we've done these new settings, when I pressed fade, it went to me. So all everyone saw was me flailing at you to say you're ready to go.
Okay, well, that's good. Yeah, at least you spoiled that surprise. Because we've had too many surprises, potentially. Of course, send in your super chats to Randy Andy Datsun. He'll be manning them, and we'll get to them in the break. And press thumbs up, subscribe, all the usual stuff. Brock Lesnar's back, Simon.
Ah, what?
Yeah.
Christ, fuck. I'm into it.
You knew that was happening before you watched the pay-per-view. So you were enjoying the pay-per-view, and then the Brock thing happened. I mostly enjoyed the whole show, and then the Brock thing happened, and that made me very annoyed and almost made me dislike the whole rest of the show. Mm. How was it knowing that Brock was already going to be there?
Well, because I went into it knowing he was going to turn up, and knowing when he was going to turn up, and knowing exactly what was going to happen. I actually just left it. I was like, right, it's happening. I know when it's going to... So I actually completely softened the blow when it happened. So when I did actually finally see it, I did find it quite amusing.
Yeah, so you took it with good humour rather than rage.
If I'd seen it live, I would have been livid.
Well, if you go back and watch our live stream, and when it happens, Luke just bursts out laughing, and Laurie just does this, and almost cries into his palm.
Laurie, and I don't want to speak out of turn, but when me and Laurie are at home. He talks about Brock Lesnar a lot.
Does he?
Yeah.
Prompted? Or does he just bring it
sometimes
up?
Sometimes unprompted. He just sort of has a general disdain for what he represents, which is fine. But yeah, he's realistic on one side. He's like, yeah, I can see the business and all that kind of stuff. And then he'll trail off into a sort of blind rage about what it's done to his psyche.
He gets red.
He gets very red.
So it's... Look, this is a thing that's happened, and I can see the case for it. WWE have sliding ratings. They've got the Saudi Arabian money to play with and all the Fox stuff. Like, you need a lot of Hail Marys at the moment if you're WWE to appease the TV networks. And Brock is one of the biggest stars they've had in the last decade, if not the biggest. So it makes sense to bring him back. Unfortunately... Everyone who's lived through and stuck with WWE in these harsh 2 years has grown to hate Brock Lesnar. Mm. So this is sort of, I guess, a move to get back viewers with Brock Lesnar, but it's also going to piss off everyone that stayed with them.
I don't think it's necessarily about the viewers themselves.
Okay.
It's about where those viewers are coming from, because ultimately... the only part of WWE's business model which is failing is specifically TV ratings. That hasn't stopped them getting the biggest TV deal they've had for a long time. Mm-hmm. Hasn't stopped them getting loads of money from Saudi Arabia. Hasn't stopped them developing territories all over the world and buying out everyone. So their social media, they are basically the biggest thing on social media that isn't called PewDiePie. So that's the only bit that's going wrong. So when you take a step back,
you're talking purely business wise, because there are many things going wrong.
Just in terms of how they themselves view their success, mm-hmm. which is not on anything else other than share and stock, because they're floated. So that's all. It's all going swimmingly, apart from that one thing. So yeah, they are happy to, I think, periodically throw a little bit of that under the bus to appease. It's a lot of plates, but they can't do it all, and I think they can justify losing TV viewership in 2019 more than they can justify losing the Saudi money or social media numbers. So I think it, from that sense, it does make sense. I still wouldn't have done it.
Yeah,
but I can see it.
Let's talk about what happened, because it was a really good match. That mum's Money in the Bank match.
It's a mum on a pole match.
My mummy in a bank match. Sorry, it was a Freudian blowjob. I mean a Freudian slip. That was one of the best Money in the Bank matches for a while. And I usually love all the Money in the Bank matches, so that's high praise. Yeah.
I like the fact that in this one, there's been crazier spots, but the timing of this one was way better. I think it was slightly shorter than they normally are. This was just short 20, which I think normally they're a bit longer than that. But also, I just think every spot was just totally justified really quickly. So that everything had heat. Everything was, it just played really, really well. So even though, like the Balor spot, that felt, even though like, you can watch that now and think, actually, there's been bigger spots. You could even say there's a bigger spot in the women's match earlier on. But because it was so well justified from a storytelling standpoint, it came out as a massive moment. I just think that's just really smart wrestlers wrestling smart. I thought it was really
good. Yeah, the one you're talking about is it's Finn Balor and Andrade on the top of the ladder.
I like how you said that.
Andrade.
Do you say Barcelona?
Barcelona. not consciously. I'm just cultured. But they had a ladder wedged between the upright ladder and the rope, the ring rope. So you had a sort of parallel to the floor ladder, a table.
It was a table ladder.
Yeah, and Finn Balor is backs to that. Andrade does a sunset flip powerbomb over him into the ladder.
Yeah.
So Balor takes that, and initially, like, oh my God, he's dead. But then Brian Alvarez pointed this out on Wrestling Observer Radio, that it looks incredible, and it's going to hurt. Like, I'm not sitting here saying, well, that was an easy bump to take. But it's not as dangerous as it looks, because the ladder is on the rope, and that's going to bounce down, absorb a lot of the impact with that, and just throw you back up again.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's why he went so high. It was like taking a powerbomb on a trampoline. But yeah, so it was that perfect mix of,
by the way, that's
it looks
perfection.
Great. Yeah.
That's exactly, a big spot should be not very painful and look spectacular.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I thought it ticked those boxes. And like you said, from their little feud that they've got going over the Intercontinental title as well, it worked perfectly. I thought, and it's crazy, because Balor took that one, and then he took two less spectacular, much worse bumps.
The one on the ladder that was on its side. Because you just see it just doesn't move. It doesn't even move an inch. He's just got to take it.
Yeah, so Corbin just chokeslams Balor on a ladder that's on the ground, but not flat, up, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Michael Cole said it was the hardest part of the ladder.
Yes. Yeah, I suppose it would be. Yeah. Does that make sense?
No,
it's all hard, isn't it?
I guess
it?
You could claim the joint perhaps is slightly sturdier than... I think if you had that ladder that big and you landed on one of the legs, it probably would bend.
A rung, yeah. Yeah. Well, it was gross to look at, whatever it was. But it wasn't as spectacular as that safer one. So you don't need to do all those flips.
No.
But because Balor had these three really rough-looking spots, the other one, I think, was Drew McIntyre's belly-to-back suplex over his head. But Ricochet was just lobbed out the ring, and he went through the ladder that was between the ring and the announcer's table. Yeah. I keep forgetting that happened.
Yeah. That was great.
Yeah.
And he, because when you have, they are so perfectly matched, because as soon as McIntyre sort of bailed him a few times, and he just has the perfect flight, but still kind of makes it look like he's like doing this midair. It's such a perfect landing.
Yeah.
Dead in the center, snaps it in half. It was awesome.
Yeah, I'm glad that one snapped. That made
if
it
that bounced, that would have been bad.
Ooh. Yeah, there's no give there. Those aren't ring ropes.
Well, even the big somersault bit, just to go back to that, didn't Guerrero do that to Edge once at another years ago?
Mm.
And he kind of flopped over the top and just brought him down. The way Andrade does this one, he properly gets height, goes first, and he does a full powerbomb. Like that, every part of it is such perfect motion. It was incredible.
Also, there was a Spanish fly off of two ladders set up next to each other. That was from Ali onto Andrade. There were so many contrived ladder spots, you know, like where someone puts the ladder. Like, why are you doing that? But I never thought that in the match because I was enjoying it so much.
I love watching someone reposition it and you go, I wonder what they're going to do with that.
Yeah, like Ali, when he set up the Spanish fly, he's looking up at the briefcase and then putting the ladder over here.
Yeah.
And then
the commentator said, oh, he's positioning it for himself. So what they made it look like was that it was only one side of the ladder that could reach the belt, which was sort of,
oh, okay.
Yeah, which was quite, that kind of
worked. They tried.
Yeah.
And what else happened? This was how much I was enjoying the match. I really enjoyed Baron Corbin running round and hitting his moves on everyone.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah, it was like, here's a deep six. Here's the choke slam.
He has got really good moveset.
Yeah.
He's got a great... It's really cool.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
So you can't... He's still wearing a waistcoat, which is a shame.
But it wasn't as good as Cesaro's old hot tags, where he just used to run around. But I thought it felt on a... Not on a par, but in the same sport.
He did... Was it that at the point where he got the you still suck chant?
Did he?
He got So everyone kind of massively popped for something he did and then just started chanting you still suck, which I thought... That's good chant work.
Yeah,
I don't know. Normally that into that. But
yeah, you still suck.
Yeah,
we enjoyed that, but yeah.
That
was
a fantastic work there. But I really loved Orton at the start.
Yeah,
where he just because I realize now that Orton now just wrestles memes. Everything he does is a meme. The table spot on the outside, where he just did it to everyone, gets the chant, gets the Randy Orton chant. It's like, it's so bizarre that someone like so detached from that world.
Mm.
He's just like, he's become a weird internet darling now. Where he just went around, did his bits, everyone thought it was hilarious and great, and then just got out the way for about 15 minutes.
Because he's not going near a ladder.
No. He didn't climb once, did he?
No. No. Well, that's, why would he? He's Randy Orton. He's not going to get on a ladder.
Well, there, he's like,
it hurts. Nah, don't worry about it. So this all came to Ali by himself going up, like climbing up the ladder, and everyone else. And this always bugs me as well. You've got six guys who are down on the outside of the ring, and Ali goes all the way to the top. That's enough time for one of them to recover.
Mm.
And then you have Brock Lesnar's music hitting. Andrade has the briefcase pretty much ready to unhook, but the sound of Brock Lesnar's music freezes him in his headlights.
It was Ali, not Andrade.
Did I keep saying Andrade? I meant Ali.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was... I don't know why he didn't just wait for 10 seconds. Or someone should have hit the music earlier. But like,
well, yeah, it wasn't his fault. It was the production
trucks. As soon as he got onto that first rung, it would have been funny to try and see him slither up as slowly as possible. And then like... Yeah. It was awkward watching it frozen in the air like that, but...
I guess you just do it where Ali gets into the ring, he realizes everyone's down, and he looks up, and then you get the crowd going, yeah, you can do it.
Then
when he puts the first foot on the bottom rung, bum, bum, that's how you do it rather than making him look like an idiot.
You rarely just see a little slip, like through tiredness. He could have just sort of slipped.
Yeah.
That would have been a bit of fun.
Fainted.
Yeah.
At the top.
Just got height. It is quite, unfortunately, metaphorical. Of just having Ali just literally sat waiting for Brock Lesnar to come and steal his thing from the top of a ladder.
These guys have all hurt themselves a lot and put in loads of work, and Brock walks down at the end to take or to reap the rewards.
Yeah.
Sounds familiar. Maybe it is a meta commentary on themselves. So we haven't even got into how Brock was in this match, because he wasn't in the match. It went ahead as a seven-person... about and
which, by the way, the Bailey I don't think they don't think they actually mentioned it in the commentary. I think at the end they did, But the match started, I think it might have got like one brief mention, but other than that, nothing. So that story was never actually really... No one on screen ever went, well, how are we going to... Like, Triple H is there as the authority figure all night. And at no point was there a scene where he went, like, I was on the phone, because everyone's on the phone.
Yeah.
Just going, well, we'll just have to make it a seven man.
Mm.
I don't think there was even anything like that.
Yeah, so this ties into what the story might be. Sami Zayn was, of course, meant to be in the match because Braun Strowman, he'd taken Braun Strowman's place on the Go Home Raw. That was all a red herring feud, and a red-headed feud, I suppose, when to sort of make you think that it was Braun who was going to take out Sami backstage because Sami Zayn is found suspended by his ankles, hanging upside down by Triple H.
Quite elaborate.
Yeah.
It's not like you got a wedgie or something. Like,
yeah, it's like that end of that Game of Thrones episode where you've got all the body parts on the wall, pointed, like making that sign. So, which made me think that it was, you said this earlier, like Aleister Black or Bray Wyatt.
It just looked weirdly ceremonial.
Yeah, like he was an upside down inverted cross.
Yeah.
And you said that immediately you were like, I'm not going to get excited.
Yeah, I can't.
So they're sort of setting up like Braun Strowman's round backstage. Triple H tells him to get out. And Braun said, it wasn't me who did that to Sami anyway. So I guess for this to make sense, it was Triple H or some iteration of the authority who took out Sami Zayn and put in Brock Lesnar.
Does this count as the wild card rule?
I don't know how it would, because he's not signed with them in kayfabe, unless he's signed backstage unbeknownstly. The wild card is about shows.
Yeah.
Not about matches.
But what show is Shane signed to?
He's an omni-Shane. He travels across both realms.
Because the other way to think about it is, would they reveal some other figure who has been adjudicating the wildcard rule? If you know what I mean.
Oh God, like another war in like authority.
Linda's back.
Well, it was to be fair, it was weird having Triple H there anyway because he hasn't been an on-screen presence really since the Batista match. It's been Vince. So when it cut backstage after the first match, I think, with Triple H on the phone and Sami Zayn walks in, I was like, wow, it's Triple H. Is he a babyface? Is he a heel? I don't know. And he played a babyface style. Like, he told Sami to get out. He was like the voice of law, wasn't he? So, yeah, it doesn't make sense that Brock Lesnar was in the match. And if they try and make it make sense... I don't want to see any more authority stuff, nor do I want to see any more Brock Lesnar stuff.
No. But what is it about anything that they have conditioned us to believe about the story of Brock Lesnar in WWE over the last year or two that would suggest that he would sneak in and neatly deposit Sami Zayn upside down on a fence? Like, he's not... why? He would just storm in and just do it, wouldn't he?
It's the tattoo. Hasn't he got that cross on his chest?
No, it's a sword.
It's a sword.
It's a sword.
It was Sami. Yeah, Sami's the sword. Clue was there. We should have figured it out a lot
sooner.
So is
he now going to have to get a tattoo of Sami Zayn upside down on his chest?
Yeah. And the other thing is, there's been reports, correct me if I'm wrong, Andy Datsun, that this was a last-minute thing.
Yeah, so the report is that this was only decided last weekend, and until last weekend it was a 50-50 between Ali and Drew McIntyre for the winner.
I was going to say, because the report that everyone's been working off of since before Mania, I think, was from WrestleVotes, who are very, very reliable. And they said the idea this year is to make the men's Money in the Bank winner a big time star, because the creative team have felt like they've fumbled the last couple of years with Braun Strowman and Baron Corbin in the previous years. And you're like, oh, okay, so an Andrade maybe, a Drew McIntyre, just like you said. But no, They've used this Money in the Bank match to elevate Brock Lesnar.
Now, to be fair, that is making the men's Money in the Bank winner a star.
Yes.
Because they've literally made it be a star.
Yeah.
So,
just shame on us for thinking otherwise.
But this is the thing I was saying to you earlier, off air, which is this is the problem with it being a pay-per-view and not a match.
The money in the bank match, yeah.
Because it's a pay-per-view, they have to do all the things that they do on pay-per-views, like big shocks and big returns, all that kind of stuff. I don't think they would feel the pressure to do that if it was still just a match at Mania.
Yeah, because Brock would have his own high-profile match. Yeah, and the Money in the Bank match would really be, here's the guys we don't know what to do with.
Yeah.
Generally very talented mid-carders. One of them wins. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's a real shame. Let us know what you thought down below in the comments. And we've got some, I'm sure we've got some thoughts in the super chats.
We have.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Starting with Carly Stanton, who says, "Hi, from Australia, love your vids, I watch every day."
Thank you very much.
Tyler Hayes says, "How likely do you think it is that the Beast in the Bank cashes in on Kofi?"
I think that is, I don't know if this is a phrase, semi-likely.
Semi-likely, yeah.
Because you could make the argument that, is this all moving towards having the big names on the Fox show? So yeah, he could cash in on Kofi on SmackDown.
See, I see it more... That's a good point. That's probably that as well. But Brock... And I guess the wild card rule doesn't really matter. That means it doesn't really matter anyway. I think Brock... Heel Brock cashes in on Kofi. So you can get Roman versus Brock.
Oh.
And next year?
SummerSlam.
Oh, yeah.
That's the big SummerSlam match in Vince's head, surely.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's what I want.
God, the atmosphere really dropped.
It's like Brock Lesnar just won the Money in the Bank briefcase again.
Here's another theory.
Go on then.
That Mick Foley comes out tonight and makes a Legends Championship to be won in Saudi Arabia and other places, but mainly Saudi Arabia, and Brock cashes in against Goldberg or Undertaker.
Yeah, I mean, that would be hilarious.
Yeah.
It really devalues the belt as well.
They have had a belt, haven't they? Who won a belt in Saudi Arabia? Somebody won a weird
belt.
Oh,
it was Braun. Yeah, it was the greatest Royal Rumble thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So It's not.
It was also a trophy. Was it also a trophy?
Yeah, and it got knocked over at Raw.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a green belt. So maybe that belt comes back as the.
Yeah, they go back to Saudi Arabia. Oh, yeah, so what have you been doing with that really cool belt we all decided was going to be a big thing? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's been on TV every week.
You should see how well it's doing.
Mick Foley's got it at the moment.
Core Dream Studios simply says, from out of nowhere. I don't know if he's talking about Brock or just about your catchphrase.
Mm-hmm. Or Randy Orton. Who was not going near any ladders from out of nowhere.
Luke, Laurie and I were laughing because he was just avoiding every bump possible.
I don't blame him, by the way. That's not us having a go at Randy Orton. I'd be exactly the same.
Everyone always says about Randy Orton that he is like the ultimate like top of the bar professional in the company. And this is why, because he turned up, got pops for every... Of all the three things he did, they all got massive pop and then just let everyone else have space.
Yeah, yeah.
Great. Job well done.
Jamie don't think he took a single bump. But Jonathan JJ says, so many screwy finishes. Can Ali get a title shot?
Ali. Sorry, not Atlee.
Can Ali get a title shot? I don't really see it at the moment. He seems to be getting lost in the shuffle. And it's all because Kofi got so hot.
He got injured, wasn't he?
Yeah.
It's just it's so many times now, just one injury can just derail everything.
Shadowed Past, no message. Donation, though.
Thank you Shadowed
him,
Past.
Or her. The Rig says, rumours are Brock isn't keeping the briefcase. I don't know where those rumours are from, but if that's true, then fine.
What are the machinations that can actually take place for someone to not just lose the briefcase, but transfer it? Because that's happened before, isn't it?
Yeah, someone just challenges you to a match for the briefcase. They had it with Owens and Braun Strowman last year.
Big E comes back, gets the briefcase, cashes in on Kofi.
Shut up.
My thing is, I fully expect Brock to cash in on Seth at Saudi Arabia and win. I genuinely think.
On Seth?
They're going to do it again.
I think he's going to cash on Kofi.
We'll see.
They tweeted afterwards to say, oh, Seth, are you ready now that Brock's got a title? Maybe I'm throwing everyone off. DJ Chili Phil says, do you think there were more than a few botches, US title? I feel the announce team were ragging on the officials a lot for being, as you say, pants.
I think the botches, as in something that wasn't meant to happen, were from the wrestlers with so many like busted open noses and heads with Lars and Samoa Joe. All those finishes... Those are the planned finishes.
Yeah.
So I don't think the referee or like all those counts that weren't done, that isn't the referee's fault.
Yeah.
That's the booking's fault because that they've obviously told the referees to not count that rope break.
The Joe Mysterio, that is how the match is supposed to finish. It just finished quicker.
Yeah.
Everything that happened was supposed to happen other than a match. Yeah.
Tomo says, very sad that Corbin didn't win. Crying face. Love you guys.
Love you too, Tomo. Yeah, we're all deeply... But, I mean, like, they found a worse winner than Corbin.
Yeah, they did. Good point.
I would love a Corbin victory today.
Yeah, to be clear, I actually don't mind Corbin. I think he gets a bit of a hard rep.
I really like him as a performer. I just think he's overpushed. Like, I don't need to see three Baron Corbin segments every week.
Nick Persley says, very salty about Lesnar. Very stupid move. Also, Ali was holding the briefcase, staring at the beast running at him. Just take it and run, Ali. I agree. Why do they just go, oh, no, he's coming. What do I do?
But imagine how much worse it would have been if he'd chased him down, beaten him up and taken it anyway. That would have been even worse. We just had to say we just chased him.
When in Rome, just commit.
Zach Lindner says, Ollie, can you do the Drake Maverick spot?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. You know this one.
I think I've seen it.
Drake Maverick.
There we go. Taisha DeMay says, or Taisha possibly, I think this Money in the Bank was far better than most, except for when Brock Lesnar came in and won the match. WWE really kisses this man's bum a lot.
It was a good show. I wasn't a fan of some of the booking, but I didn't hate that booking. I just thought it was rushed.
Nothing was bad, I would say, apart from the end.
Yeah.
Nothing was bad.
And even that isn't bad. Like, it's because it's so shocking, and I didn't see it coming. So there's a, and it will as a ratings thing help?
I think it's fairly rare to have 4 hours of live anything and it all be perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't care how good you think your company is.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah, broken record criticism. It was the show was too long.
Yes. Yeah. Casey Swakowski or Sikowski possibly says Randy was next to Ricochet when he took the bump and he probably was thinking, I would never take that bump, kid. Crying face, laughing.
Yeah, these young marks.
Spot fest.
Yeah, Randy's just going, idiot.
Zach Lindner says, Housemate Simon merch. There are quite a lot of people, understandably, saying, who's that? That is Housemate Simon, and they're also saying, you had too much hair to be on the channel.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that's going to come off.
It's very much a power move on my part.
Everyone go and watch Screen Grapple. That's where Simon's from, and is also legitimately... Yeah. Laurie's real life housemate. Yeah.
And you were in Screen Grapple.
That was really fun, that was.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sunday Screen Grapple, check it out.
Benji FTO Band says, first super chat, much love from New York.
Thank you very much. From London.
Tomo says, he says, I still want Randy Datsun merch, don't we all? Ewan Pricey says, sounds silly, but because Saudi is next pay-per-view, how about Ali versus Brock for the briefcase and Ali wins, making him a mega babyface?
I just don't see it.
Yeah, that would be great.
I could see Ali rocking up in the 125,000 man Royal Rumble they're going to do.
Yeah,
Brock is not going to take a loss to Ali.
No. Well, maybe this is the but maybe that month out was like Shawn Michaels' month out, and he's found himself, and he's going to come back, and he's going to put over the next generation of guys.
Knowing that's not happening, the other interesting thing was he did look like what I initially thought was great fight shape. He looks in really good shape, old Brock.
Mm.
He was weirdly tanned.
Well, he was going to UFC, it seemed, but
I think there's something must have happened because the UFC match isn't happening. That was going to happen. That's been called off. So obviously, he's just got his new short term deal with WWE, which normally means it's however many months, 6 months, a year, with one loss booked at the end.
Yeah.
So this run will just depend on how long that contract is, and he'll have that one loss at the end of it.
And maybe
so it's not happening tomorrow or in Saudi Arabia. It's going to happen at SummerSlam or, you know.
Yeah. The report is that Ali got really badly busted open by the ladder that Brock pushed or whatever it was.
Brock was just throwing ladders around at the end.
He hit some cameramen.
Yeah, he took out like three guys on the front when he ran down. He really took a beat turn and just kind of stormed into this ladder.
Charging guy, yeah.
Zhao Martins says, wasn't Triple H afraid of Braun at one point?
Yes, that was the end of Survivor Series 2017 where... Triple H and Braun were the last two people standing. Braun turned, tried to beat up Triple H. Triple H did that, up face in the corner, and it went nowhere.
Yeah. Maz, the irony is that Brock Lesnar is only considered the top star because he made his name after leaving WWE.
That's unfair, I think, because he was hugely pushed in WWE in that first run. And look at him. Vince sees that guy and he's going to get pushed to the top of the company. And he can wrestle. He's an amazing wrestler. So
he came around at a time where it was pre-social media and the TV ratings were still massive. He didn't turn up in 2008. He turned up in 2002?
Yeah, yeah.
So it was still a really hot time for the company, I think, at that time.
Yeah, compared to now, definitely.
Do you want a couple more?
Yes, let's do... How many more have we got?
15.
So okay, let's do five.
Five more. Adam Southfield says, I miss Becky Two Belts.
Becky One Belt. Mm. She's not a two-ball champion anymore.
No, she's not. She's not.
First attempt at
But she's going out with a two-ball guy. So yeah. That's good.
That's good.
Jeffrey Pridemore, no message, but a little donation. So thank you to Jeffrey.
Jeff.
True Dill says, did anyone hear that lady scream at Kofi? You suck, Kofi!
No.
I didn't hear that. What, just during the match?
Some people were saying that Kofi was getting booed briefly.
Oh, that's a shame. To be fair,
the crowd were a bit dead for that, I think, post...
Bizarro.
Yeah. Just a great match and a bizarre match.
Daniel Godwin says, Orton was the real Money in the Bank winner. Mister isn't taking bumps.
Yeah. Yeah. I love him.
I thought it was great.
No message. But thank you for your donation. And lastly, Lucas Mildrum says, a woman's kind of ICUS title equivalent belt. Please don't. No.
What was that?
For the new belt that's being introduced.
Oh,
like a mid-card. Women's title.
Give that to Becky as well. Let's get all the belts back on Becky.
My feeling is that they wouldn't make Mick Foley do it if it was going to be a women's belt.
That's a good point. Yeah. Although he did have some interaction with Sasha and Charlotte, I think, in their first Hell in a Cell match.
Yeah.
He was like, don't do it, it's too dangerous. Yeah. Like, yours, patriarchy.
He's had quite a few sort of just kind of on-screen mentorship moments with the Four Horsewomen. So,
But I don't think that's happening. All right, so the actual pay-per-view started on the pre-show with Daniel Bryan and Rowan taking on the Usos. By the way, I had a fantastic night in Wrestle League.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I am top of Wrestle League. After losing Season 1, my WrestleMania and Money in the Bank predictions combined at the moment have me in first place.
Nine
out of 12.
Nice. That's Who's insane. Doing the worst out of the office?
Luke by a mile. So really? The standings are Ollie's on 20, I'm on 19, Pete and Laurie are on 16, and Luke is on 13.
God, Luke.
And you forgot to do your predictions.
I didn't realise I was supposed to.
You're going to have to...
I sent them to you on Discord.
Did you?
But you?
Oh, is that why you sent to me on Discord? I got the email.
We know not to click your links, Andy.
Last time was an aggressive
GIF. Can you just be really honest with your predictions? Like what you would have genuinely picked?
And I can add them to
And it. Then we can add them in.
Okay.
Because it runs all the way through till SummerSlam. And you'll be massively behind otherwise.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah, so it started off with Daniel Bryan and Rowan versus the Usos. I got this one right. The Usos had a little pre-match promo thing. I like their... Whoa.
Yeah, I like that.
Whoa. I think that's a nice little catchphrase they've added recently.
Yeah. I think it's quite good, though, because they started just doing a to-the-ring promo quite recently, and they do it every time now. So to add a little...
Yeah.
It's good.
It's good. Yeah, and it's not... Like, all this stuff otherwise that they've added on Raw has been very obnoxious and annoying, but I like that one. But yeah, it was... This match was mostly Eric Rowan, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Brian was on the outs, on the apron for most of it. Rowan was booked to look really strong. He did this kick out at one point.
Oh,
he
just
threw whichever Uso off. He double superplexed them off the second rope.
he took both of them to suicide dive him twice to get him out of the match.
And then they did the stereo dives, certain splashes onto Brian for the win. Which is, it's a shame because I wouldn't beat the SmackDown Tag Champions this early after they won them. Particularly when it's Brian and on the pre-show.
Yeah, but then again, is the other argument that it's just a pre-show, so we don't mind doing... Or what is ostensibly like a dark match you happen to put on TV.
Mm.
So is it... That's the one. I wonder whether they must think of those matches differently to the way we do.
That's their... That's WWE's way of thinking, I think.
But the problem is, if you watch it on the network, there is no difference between the pre-show and the main show.
Really?
Well, no.
I thought they're separate.
No, but if you think about it, the difference between me sat here on my watching the WWE Network with a PlayStation, all I do is wait 5 minutes and the main show starts. So like the viewing experience is not like a dark match versus main match. I still feel like I've just seen an Usos Daniel Bryan match, and it is meaningful to me that the tag champs got pinned. But I don't think they think of it that way.
Yeah, I agree.
If that makes sense.
And it's a shame because, I don't think Brian should ever be on a pre-show as well.
No.
Did you see Brian's promo on the network?
No.
Really good.
He does this amazing promo where he kind of talks about all his failures, but that it's like almost 5 minutes long, and then he kind of goes into a sort of we are now gonna completely reinvent the tag team division. It was really, really like dark and serious, and saying like. Yeah, and he really went into the whole people are killing the planet, and like it is now. But yeah, definitely, it's worth a watch if you can find it on YouTube.
Wish they put that sort of stuff on the main shows.
So much stuff goes on the YouTube channel that should.
It's excellent.
They spend so much. They do so many promos on the show, and then put these really good segments on YouTube.
It's probably because it's just that the online team going, oh, can you just cut a promo? We need to fill our YouTube quota. And they're like, okay, boom. And it's unscripted. Yeah. It's off the top of their head.
Like Kevin Owens,
very good.
Kevin Owens did a 5-minute promo talking to the side of a truck. that was hilarious.
Yeah.
About 2 weeks ago. And it's like, just to have him do that.
Yeah. Titus O'Neil getting sung Happy Birthday to. Should be on the main show.
One of the greatest things I've ever seen.
But the main card, this was the main card, if you missed that transition, was the Women's Money in the Bank match with no Alexa Bliss, of course. We had Nikki Cross in there instead. And I thought this was a cracking match.
Yeah, I really liked it.
There were some awkward bits when people sort of were stuck between spots and just kind of stood there like non-playable characters having a little moment.
Well, the weird thing is what they didn't do in this match, which is what sometimes we complain about with WWE matches, is they didn't all just powder out the ring.
Mm.
They actually all stayed in the ring and did a lot. So that's why they had to sort of meander around. But they could have just done a lot more, just let's just roll out and hang around outside for a bit.
It's not always a bad thing. But I thought Nikki Cross was really good. I thought Ember Moon had one of the most spectacular moments of the night when this large ladder on the outside, she did an eclipse off of that onto Natalya in the ring.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
It was great.
Yeah. But I thought Naomi was the best out of the bunch.
Yeah, when she did the walk across the two ladders.
Yeah, that, when she did the splits
under
all the ladder attacks.
Then didn't she know when she got springboarded off into the turnbuckle and then back out again? She did like a kind of moonsault off. She got flung and managed to like land on her feet onto something and then dive back off again.
Sounds like something she'd do.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to nod. But yeah, I thought it was really good. But it was the main thing, weirdly, and I've seen some people celebrate Carmella's selling here. Whereas it took me out of it. Early on in the match, Mandy Rose is like going at Carmella and she's kicking her lower leg. And then Carmella just is like, goes, no, stop.
Yeah.
And she just stands there. And I thought, is she really, like, is that a genuine injury? And she's sort of unprofessionally saying, no, stop, I'm actually hurt. And then she rolled out. And it, like, really that kind of spot, you should be rolling around selling it like a baby face.
Yeah.
As opposed to me going, what's happening here?
It was very strange because we've seen that spot before. Specifically, we've seen her just leave matches before and come back. And I don't know, that spot never works for me. The feigning an injury and coming back. Because the limp didn't look real.
Mm.
No one would just bandage their knee pad up and come back. It's just, like, what injury was that? I don't get, like...
She split the knee pad.
Yeah, but she just cut her knee pad open. It was just, I didn't... Just that had no, and you could tell because when she came back, very little.
Oh yeah, there wasn't much.
Well, the general reaction was that if it had been someone else, people might have cared. But like, no one cared about Carmella going into the match anyway. So to have her leave, everyone was like, okay, she's leaving. And then she came back and went, right, okay.
Yeah.
And then it didn't play into anything.
But it doesn't work because if you're a babyface trying to do it, I don't know, what is she at the minute?
She's babyface. She's a dance break
babyface. So. If the point is, if you're a babyface, you need to do two things really. You need to be resilient under sort of torment, so play through an injury, and you don't take shortcuts like leaving a match and coming back at the end. So like, it just doesn't work, I don't think, as a booking technique.
I agree, from a psychology standpoint. Yeah. But WWE do that all the time, like famously with Roman Reigns in the Rumble match.
Yeah, yeah.
I know, this will make the crowd love him. Yeah. Let's not have him wrestle for 40 minutes. But Carmella eventually came back out, beat up Mandy Rose, and went to climb the ladder. But Sonya Deville got in there and pushed her off the ladder and tried to firewoman carry Mandy up the ladder.
Her acting was great, like her sort of struggling up the ladder and the concern on her face for her friend to win. Like, it was actually she was actually just a bang up job.
Sonya Deville's really good.
Yeah.
And then Bayley awesomely just ran up the other side of the ladder and looked at Rose like, get out. And then she knocked him off and won.
It was great.
Yeah. And it was really, really good. I'm so happy that worked out for Bayley. Yeah. And then she had an interview with Charlie Caruso in the ring. And said, you know, me and Sasha Banks built this women's tag division, but now I'm going to go for the title. How did you interpret that?
I mean, I interpreted it as, well, obviously Sasha's going to come back and do something and have a heel turn on Bayley. That's how I... there's no other way of thinking about it, I don't think.
There is another way.
Go on.
If you go home and moan and cry, then... We've got nothing for you, but the people who stay with the company, they're the champion now.
I see what you mean. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I see that.
It was weird to include Banks's name in there.
There's no need to.
No need to, yeah. So it's either she's coming back in the next 2 days, or they're just starting to take pot shots already.
Or she was hurriedly given the note on the way out that she somehow needs to do a promo about her history with the tag team division and moving to a singles competition, but without mentioning her tag partner. And she might have just had a bit of a brain fart after an amazing match and said her name, because that would be a really hard promo to tell. Can you mention your tag team run without mentioning your tag team partner by name?
The boss and hug connection. Then we got the Triple H stuff with Sami Zayn backstage. Then we got our first bad officiating of the night. Rey Mysterio versus Samoa Joe. their WrestleMania match went about a minute. I'd say this
Even
went
less,
about
yeah.
2 minutes.
Yeah.
With Samoa Joe getting a busted open nose. And apparently the referee was like, there's too much blood. Let's just go to the finish because you're just going to keep bleeding. And the finish was Rey rolls, well, doesn't even roll him up. He just falls him down into a normal pin. And Joe's shoulder is up, but the referee counts three anyway.
Yeah. See, that says to me that just means that whatever the next pin was getting counted because they were going to cut them out, match off.
Yeah.
That's all that was, I think.
But do you think that having the left shoulder so clearly up and the announcers pointing attention to it means that that was the planned shoulder up to protect Joe in some weird way? Like, oh, we didn't really lose the match.
I just can't imagine that they could have pieced that together that quickly from the nose break.
Well, if that was always the finish, we're going to the finish, and then the finish is have the shoulder up.
Maybe. It just seems so... They've been burnt so many times before and so many times recently with that. It just seems so odd to me to plan that. I think it was just the way Rey fell. He had what's he only had like, because he was the Hurricane Run, wasn't it?
I can't remember.
But he basically had like one doing the thing where he kind of has one leg behind and hooked one leg. So it just kind of, I just think it was just because he's so small and he's so big, I think it just kind of rolled him up a bit weirdly. And I think it was more, I think that was more of a mistake.
Okay. Well, it was bad, I thought. And this US title is cursed. Like, it's been a year now, or 2 years of, as soon as you get that belt, you either disappear from TV or you get booked in crappy feuds with weird finishes. And Joe was angry, of course. Dominic came down, Eddie Guerrero's son, to celebrate with Rey. And Joe beat up Rey afterwards. But Dominic didn't get in the ring to help.
Well, he did the thing, didn't he? When Joe saw Dominic, he went in again, didn't he? Which is quite cool. I did really... I know Joe seems to have exclusively feuded with children over the last year, but I really did want to see him beat up that kid.
Yes.
I just wanted to see it. I just think it would have been great.
I think he's got quite a heelish face.
He has.
It's like an ear piercing. He looks like a hipster.
He's got heel... Yeah. Oh, yeah. So you're saying that I... Not storyline-wise, I just wanted to see someone a bit hipstery get beaten up.
I think we all do, deep down. So, I mean, it's a shame because I think Rey Mysterio and Samoa Joe can have an excellent match.
Yeah.
And it's two pay-per-views in now. They've traded the title between them. And we've had about 3 minutes of action.
It's really bizarre.
So it's frustrating.
Because also the feud is getting quite a lot of attention.
Mm.
They're getting booked quite high up the card. They're clearly building to this big story. And yet, they're not just not having matches.
Well, the belt is the prop. Dominic is the true prize here. They're going to trade him back and forth somehow.
So is Mick Foley going to debut the new belt as just Dominic?
Dressed up as a belt.
Yeah.
Then we got Shane McMahon versus The Miz in a steel cage. Which...
I haven't seen a cage, just a straight cage match for a while.
Yeah, they've really overdone the Hell in a Cells, haven't they? But this was a match that had bits in. I just really don't like Shane McMahon's character of I'm the best in the world, ha ha, that's a joke, and then he actually is much better than the full-time professional athletes.
Mm.
He's meant to be the underdog or a chicken S-word heel.
Yeah.
Not I will go toe-to-toe with you in the ring. And The Miz is hardly a legit badass either.
But then weirdly, when it gets to the matches, particularly with The Miz, this is twice now, they've done the Shane just trying to run away. So this is one of those things where actually, this did all make sense. Shane was just trying to escape the whole time. He was being the, like, just snide, trying to get away. So we're like, But for whatever reason, it just didn't quite...
Yeah.
I don't think they actually did any... There's no reason why you'd look at that and go, oh, well, we knew that was going to be a mess. Because actually, it kind of makes sense. Kind of.
I had such high expectations for this after the best match of the year they had at WrestleMania 35 with Miz Dan and the insane bumps they took into that golf cart.
I mean, he didn't... Yeah, but he did that... This is another problem with the cage match. It's landing in the ring. People don't... I don't think you visually get how, like, hard that is. So, like, he did the big bump off the top, which is a huge... Like, when he gets dragged off the top of the cage, which was a huge bump, but just not as big as one they did a month ago. Not as big as one we've seen him do loads.
Yeah, all the bumps Shane took, I wouldn't put in the spectacular Shane bump territory. And that's what this match needed to distract from how rubbish it was, I think.
I don't think it was rubbish.
Yeah?
I thought it was fine. Because it's rubbish. Well, I just liked seeing someone in a cage match actually trying to escape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, through the door, he was always... Yeah. And he got the chair.
When he got really smoothly dragged back in and then just had the chair.
How did he get that chair?
It was really good.
Was it on... A referee must have given that to him. He was not reaching underneath the ring.
But the camera work was perfect.
Yeah.
I'd love to see... I want to see some GIFs of him dragging just various things.
Well, maybe he's just working on a new magic act. Like, oh, what's that behind your ear? Hey! But that chair played into a spot where the Miz got the chair. That was actually quite well done.
They beat him hard with that chair as well.
And the chair's sort of between them both, and Shane realises that he's lost control of the chair. Miz realises he can have it. I like that. And skull-crushing finale onto the chair, gets the pin, 1-2, Shane grabs the middle rope. Actually, no, he gets his foot onto it.
Foot on the bottom rope, yeah.
And the referee stops counting. Of course, a rope break isn't applicable in a steel cage match.
No.
The commentators said, but it's no DQ, which I guess it isn't, but more steel cage. And they called a lot of attention to the fact that that was a bad call from the referee after we'd just had a similar thing with Joe and Ray and that shoulder being up.
Mm.
So I just thought it made WWE look a bit crap.
Well, this is what we're calling out the stuff with the refs. Is there something legitimately happens? The commentators are just going to have to go with it as if just keep it alive. But
they're doing what Vince is telling them to do.
But also, someone putting their foot on the bottom rope isn't... That's booked.
Yeah, totally.
That's not a miss. That's not a shoulder... Is that shoulder down? Is it not? That's not a heat at the moment thing that's happening in the ring. That was a legitimate... To keep to save the skull-crushing finale for some reason?
Like, yeah. Or to show that Miz had the win, but he was screwed out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, just have an ODQ match and do something else.
Mm.
It was a really odd decision. Really odd.
Yeah. I wasn't a fan of it. And then they fought to the top of the cage, and Shane, being so sweaty, just slipped out of Miz's hands and fell to the floor.
That's how toddlers get out of going to bed.
just
wriggling out of his pyjamas, which he does wear pyjamas.
This was another one I got right. And everyone called me crazy. They were like, no, Miz will get his win back. I said, but it's Shane McMahon. Got that one right. So then we got the first tease that Mick Foley's going to unveil this new WWE title on Raw. It was a silhouette of a title and not of Dominic. So maybe he doesn't play.
Dominic was lying down.
Oh, what, in a sexy way? Yeah. The Michael Jackson off the wall cover. Was that off the wall? Or was it Thriller?
Thriller. Off the wall is when he's in the jacket leaning.
Yes. Sami Zayn is then found suspended upside down by Triple H. Then we got Tony Nese versus Araya Daivari. I thought I accidentally skipped back to the pre-show, but this was on the main card.
It's funny how it really feels like they went, well, really, people keep moaning at us for not putting 205 Live on the main show, so let's dump Daniel Bryan and put this on.
We can't win!
They don't know what they want! Yeah.
They say they want stars and surprises. We gave them Brock Lesnar in the main event, and they're all bitching and moaning! This was... Unfortunately, so the Cruiserweight matches for the last year, I'd say, which are pretty much just Buddy Murphy and Cedric Alexander and different combinations of those two. They are such good wrestlers They make such loud slapping noises with their moves. And they start off with no one caring. And by the end of the match, a lot of people are into it. Neither of these guys had the charisma to do that, I would argue. Which is a shame, because they worked well, but the crowd didn't care.
I think the problem here is just... I haven't watched a lot of 205 recently, but... not recently, as in like overall. But
ever.
I watched it loads when it first started.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And then I went sort of back to just like get... Because I know what his character, like, Aria Devara's character is, but like I just went back and started watching it again just to be like, have I got this? Because in my head, I just went, oh, these guys just aren't over. And I was like, well, they've been doing it for a while. And they just... The Knees character has now... It's never really crossed over with the audience. Devara's character just hasn't been around that long, I don't think, to really get over. So I just think it just kind of just didn't have the same... It just didn't have the same buzz. I don't really get Tony Nese's character at all, really.
He doesn't really have one apart from Here's My Abs. They even said they made that a part of his character, that he has no character. It's a weird choice. I guess they took the belt off Murphy because they were going to use him on the main roster, but that hasn't happened either. I haven't seen him since.
They're both great wrestlers. I think it's funny how context can sometimes mess with the booking a bit.
Then we got Becky Lynch versus Lacey Evans in the first match. And I've got to say, I've been down on Lacey Evans. And I still am down on Lacey Evans.
That's interesting, because I've always been quite high on Lacey Evans.
I just think I've got nothing against her, but Becky needed a hot feud coming out of WrestleMania. I don't think it was the right decision to book her with someone who is quite obviously a fictitious character. You know, go from the realism of Ronda Rousey to this very fabricated persona and someone we haven't seen wrestle at all. And we're meant to say, oh, okay, so they're on the same level now? When fought Ronda Rousey? So I thought that was a misstep. I was impressed by her moveset. Like, I quite enjoyed little bits she did in the match. There was a moment when she rolled backwards to get a pin.
Oh, and did like a little splash.
I quite like that. Yeah. And when she got the handkerchief out, it's very hokey, but it fits her character, so I like that.
Yeah.
What I didn't understand is why she made it rain like a carder on the way down to the ring.
That was weird. Because when she did that, because Southern Bells...
It was a Tomb Raider, wasn't it?
Huh?
I thought it was a Tomb Raider reference, because, you know, the gun's in there.
No, it's...
But why would it be a Tomb Raider reference?
No, she's Southern Belle, like...
Why is she suddenly throwing money everywhere? When was that a thing?
Yeah, that's what we're saying.
Yeah.
You can't make it more confusing with the Tomb Raiders.
Yes, I can.
Because I imagine... I think we've misconstrued a character. She's a Southern Belle in the sense that... In the same way that, like, in a sort of There Will Be Blood sort of way. Like a really rich oil baron Southern Belle.
This piece over here... That's my land. And here is my straw. And I'm going to drink it up. Drink up all your belts.
It's a good impression.
Thanks, man. It's one of my only ones I can do.
Yeah. So that's... But that doesn't make any sense.
No.
Somebody had those guns backstage. I went...
Hey, look what I just bought. That's brilliant.
Nailed it. You know what's weird as well is you can be a Southern Belle and do a gimmick of Southern values without actually being from the 1930s.
Yeah.
It is possible to do it. People are from the South.
I haven't seen
now.
That. I haven't seen that ever done successfully. It's also, I mean, this is a Carder's gimmick. Of all the things to emulate, legitimately, probably objectively, the best wrestler ever to have lived, who's competing right now in the present day.
What, Lacey Evans?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. That's the guy you sort of emulate with Lacey Evans. I don't know.
They were Lacey weird. Dollars as well, weren't they?
Yeah.
Which is literally
her face
the,
was on them, yeah.
Because it was, yeah. Oh, yeah, I didn't get that.
Well, it was a pretty okay match. Better than I thought it would be, to be honest. And the crowd were really into Becky. But then all those little Lacey Evans spots, though, just imagine how much more effective they would have been if you just had 5 months of squash matches. To showcase those and to get those spots over. Whereas this was the first time I was seeing all those spots.
So it's because every time she came, did the walk and turn, the 10 seconds she spent dabbing herself with a napkin could have been spent pinning someone.
Exactly.
Or giving someone, like, because also it's not a lot of time to get over a finish like the women's right as well, which is just it is just a punch. So it's hard. I think you really need to see people put down with that. But ideally also stop giving everyone punch finishes because they're stupid.
Oh, I like punch finishes.
But people get punched all the time.
But it's different. Meltzer pointed that out. Apparently in the match, Lacey did just punch Becky. And he was like, if your finisher is a punch.
Never punch.
Don't punch in the match.
Yeah.
Like, that's your end move. So that's how it sort of ended. Oh, no, she didn't hit did she?
Is this where the weird ref not counting thing happened?
Our third weird piece of officiating, yeah. So Lacey has, like, sort of rolls up Becky. And I think it was a schoolboy or something, or a school lady. And the referee just looks at it, and I counted. It is at least a three count. At least a three count. Like, a 2.5 to a three count.
Yeah.
So I don't know, again, if that's something they booked to protect Lacey in defeat. Like, oh, she did have her beat, though. Or if that was just meant to be a near fall that the referee was meant to count. Because then Becky reverses it into this the disarmer, and Lacey taps immediately.
It's a weird thing where as it happened, I sort of went back a bit and watched again, just be like, did I see that wrong? It almost looks like that they had to wait for the camera guy to get around to see her spin out and reverse it. I don't know whether someone got in the referee's ear and went, just needed another one more second. Because as it cuts to the camera that actually catches the spin, it's still coming. So I don't know whether...
It's your production eye, that is.
Yeah. So I don't know whether maybe they just had to wait an extra second for a camera guy to get around to actually see the finish.
But the referee could just... Yeah, I don't know.
It's just a theory. Yeah.
But then after that match, Charlotte's music hits immediately. And
I like that, by the way.
That, I thought that was a really nice touch, yeah. So the commentators explained this match was meant to happen later in the night, but it's happening now because Charlotte has curried favour backstage. Which is the weird turn of phrase they use with women getting stuff backstage. It's not a long match. It probably goes a couple of minutes. And Lacey just hits the women's right on the outside behind the referee's back. Charlotte gets in. Becky rolls her up. Sort of, but I was like, but you were just knocked out by the punch. And then Charlotte, does she pin her? I've lost track.
Yeah. Big boot and then pin.
Oh, that's it.
Off of the roll up.
So they roll up, stand up, and then she hits the big boot out of the corner.
Yeah, which is a very strange finish if that's what you're. Like, what does that mean for the women's right? Oh, you can just immediately come to your senses.
Well, does it also more mean that now Charlotte's finishes the big boot? Because she keeps big booting people in promo segments.
I mean,
so was that as much to get
it as her finish before?
Yeah.
I don't know. But it didn't work for me at all.
No. Do you think it was the momentum of the punch was still stored in Becky and then she, like Sonic?
It's a shame because, like, Becky has a lot of character and storyline history around punches to the face.
Mm.
And they haven't really made much of that. I think it's a bit of a waste. But then what happened is the blondes united. Lacey and Charlotte were just beating down Becky. The crowd start chanting for Bayley, and Bayley's music hits. The crowd erupts. Bayley gets in there. She fights off Charlotte and Lacey. And then I thought, oh, crap, she's going to cash in on Becky.
Yeah, that's what I thought, yeah.
Surely, because Becky is... She's just wrestled two matches. She's just lost one belt. Maybe she's going to lose the other. But no. Because Charlotte's going to hit a turnbuckle pad.
Yeah.
And that's going to knock her out completely.
She looked like she dropped out of the back of a car. She was in a pile in the corner.
What a weird way to do that. Like, she hits her head on the... So Charlotte charges after her. Bayley just moves. Charlotte hits her head on the middle turnbuckle, I think. Yeah. And she's there for a while. Bayley then cashes in, climbs to the top and does a splash. And that's what she wins with.
It was an elbow. Well, she did,
was it an elbow?
Yeah, she does an elbow quite weirdly. Why didn't she just come... The thing I thought she was going to do was just come down and just whop them with the briefcase.
Yeah. That's a bit more heelish. But you are saving Becky, yeah.
At that point, you wouldn't care, would you?
The Charlotte stuff was weird. I still find it weird that she was taken out so much by the turnbuckle pad. Seen that that spot's done all the time and people are totally fine. And Charlotte had wrestled, what, a 2-minute match?
Yeah.
But the crowd reaction to Bayley becoming the SmackDown Women's Champion, how they just kept on playing her music, she ran through the crowd.
It was great.
This was Kofi Kingston levels of reset, I think.
It was it's amazing, like, the machinery of WWE, we complain about it so much, but every now and again, that was just perfect timing. The crowd just has come full circle. They wanted it to happen, and they just seemed to, even just on that night, they just decided they wanted it to happen now.
Yeah.
And it's just, it has completely reset her character over, what, 2 years nearly of being completely mistreated, just in one night, bang, straight back to the top. I think it's great.
Yeah, Kofi had a decade of being treated like that. It was... It was really expertly done, and full credit to WWE, because that segment is designed to make Bayley turn into that. Just the way they kept playing the music gave her the long celebration. I just, just the step back, that's a great moment. But really, you want to build up Bayley over 6 months on SmackDown, and you have her chase. Because she's the babyface underdog character. That's so fundamental to her appeal.
Yeah.
And then she wins the belt, and that's the big crowning moment. But you can't do that story now.
Yeah. As soon as it finished, my immediate thought was that exact thing. I'm going, oh, but it is more fun to watch her chase it than.
Yeah.
Because now she's just gonna have to fend off. Well, I guess now will she just fend off Charlotte and plus whoever she decides to kind of have as a lackey.
Yeah.
Or.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see where they go. But an Ember Moon Bayley match would sort of be a great babyface feud. After that, we got Elias. Oh, yeah. I wonder if that was meant to be Sasha's spot.
What's that now?
That, like, Bayley winning everything. Was that just something WWE booked to say to Sasha, you could have had this? Or was this always the plan to give to Sasha?
That's interesting. They are that petty. But at the same time, it makes so much sense to do it with Bayley that it's kind of, maybe somebody backstage thinks that is a bit of a stick in it to Sasha, but at the same time, they also do want to do this with Bayley. So it's kind of a...
Kill two birds with one stone. Then we got Elias versus Roman Reigns. Thank God this wasn't a match.
This was, the backstage segment of this was hilarious.
Mm.
I've shown several people this who don't like wrestling. Gone, just look at this Scooby-Doo villain in a dressing gown.
Yeah.
Sneak up behind him and then just brain him with a guitar, and then and then just walked out of the ring.
Yeah.
But so where they were, was Roman on his way to the ring, and was he just going to wrestle in that hoodie in the first place?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe
he takes off the hoodie just before he comes out.
The bit that I struggled to get was what was Roman being interrupted on his way to do.
They were the next match, weren't they?
But he was about to walk out in the middle of the crowd like Elias did. He was in the same corridor. They turn around and there's the crowd. So where was Roman going?
Old Shield entrance.
It was the most bizarre bit.
Maybe Elias just took a really long time to catch up with him. And he just kept walking past.
He got lost. It's like Spinal Tap.
Yeah. Get trapped a big egg.
Yeah. Elias came out and he, does his usual heel song
with an electric guitar.
An electric guitar, shades of Bob Dylan. Mm. I'm surprised they didn't get more boos.
Yeah.
But he said, really, I thought it was the best delivery he's had in a long time. I've got an electric guitar here because the other one's broken.
Yeah.
Just like it wasn't great. Anything to do with Roman. I think they got a laugh from the crowd.
Yeah. Oh, it did. Like Elias does get genuine laughs quite a lot. He is funny and he's got a great delivery. And even the way he tells everyone to shut up is really filled with like petty anger. I think he's great.
Yeah. It's a shame his babyface run didn't last a bit longer because that was working.
Yeah. Well, because I remember when he debuted in NXT as the Drifter and immediately I went, no, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
So it's taken him a while to sort of find his place in the character, but he's getting there.
But he finishes his little song and he walks up the ramp. The big dog's music hits, comes out, Superman punch, go in the ring, bell rings, and spear for the win for Roman.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's
But it's weird good. That it was billed as one of the main matches of the night, in a way. Like, it had a promo package, it had quite a lot of build. It was odd to have it just blown off so quickly. So is that just the end of that? Is that just, that's done now?
Well, I think they're obviously going Shane Roman is the direction of that feud. So maybe Elias is just going to continue acting as McMahon's second there.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's good for the structure of the night, I think, because that really refreshed the crowd for what came next, which was this excellent Seth Rollins AJ match.
Yeah.
But for Roman as a character, like he should have so much momentum, but he doesn't feel like he has any of that. Like he's coming off a real life recovery from leukemia, and he's close to being back to old boring Roman again. And these segments like that don't do anything to help that.
I think and it's so difficult for WWE because of how many of all the deals they have done outside of the ring. But like, it's weird that he still has the Shield's music and always has done. Mm-hmm. It's weird that he still dresses like he's in Shield. I think at some point he needs just a freshen up, like a new bit, just some different gear, some different music or whatever it is, different nickname. I don't know, whatever. It's something subtle to just give him a little nudge in a new direction. I think he just needs something because he's still... Because he can go back and he can go away and come back in for whatever reason and many times as he wants, but if he just keeps coming back as the same thing, precisely the same thing, eventually it's just... He'll never get that goodwill back because he just looks like the guy that we didn't like before.
Yeah, same catchphrases. I don't think... He hasn't added anything new to his character for years.
But if you think even Rollins in the last year has had... The Burn It Down thing and it was on his tights.
Beast Slayer, Monday Night Rollins.
Yeah, he's had loads of stuff. Everyone just constantly adds stuff to their character.
That's a good point.
And he seems the only one that doesn't.
Well, talking of Seth Rollins, we got some wrestling next. Seth Rollins versus AJ Styles. It was a superb match.
This was amazing.
And this is like something that I really, really love. I love superb matches when I know both guys can have a better match.
Yeah.
This was... That like AJ and Bala, at Survivors, TLC a few years ago. Like they have a match where they do spots and they leave enough back where I'm more excited about their second encounter.
Yeah,
because I know they're going to riff on bits. They've got more in the tank. This was a perfect example of that, I thought.
Yeah, because there's moves that they both do that they haven't even hit in this match.
Mm.
So it's interesting to see what they do. I think they will do it again.
I hope so. They're on the same brand.
Yeah.
Wildcard. Everyone's on the same brand. But there's so many spots. The Falcon Arrow thing, the superplex into the Falcon Arrow that Seth usually does. He had a reverse suplex into an inverted version of that, which was really inventive. Loads of dives outside. There was one where AJ dropped Seth's neck on the top rope.
Oh, yeah.
And then that gave Seth the momentum
to
run and do a dive on him. I thought that was really good. Great super kicks, but the best one was, you can say it,
the step up into the Styles Clash was one of the most incredibly sweetly hit things I've ever seen. Like, it was so smooth and so clean and just, it was incredible.
Smoother than Shane McMahon getting a chair from nowhere?
Not as buttery smooth and delicious as that chair spot was, but close.
Yeah.
It was close.
It's
was it better than the stomp into the RKO?
That's what I was just going to
say. Exactly the same thing.
The stomp into the RKO was great, but watching it back with this, that's quite an easy move to do.
Yeah.
To go from the curb stomp into the Styles Clash position.
Yeah.
That, there's no, if you told me that, I was like, well, you can't do that.
Yeah,
because that won't work.
But
they made it work.
The amazing thing about it as well is he actually genuinely does do the stomp. He actually presses his foot onto his head and they go down a little bit and then pop up into it. So the timing of it, they could never have done that better. It was incredible.
And it's because they're two of the best wrestlers in the world. And watching them wrestle was like watching, I'd suddenly switched to HD. I was looking at the punches and I was like, those punches are connecting and those kicks are connecting and everything looks real.
Yeah.
And then that's when I'm like, oh yeah, because AJ Styles is actually one of the best wrestlers in the world. He's not just the best wrestler in WWE.
Yeah.
And when he's put in these environments, he can really show that. It was.
The bit that I think showed that for me was when AJ went for his vintage, which he doesn't do to very many people, the vintage backflip into the DDT.
Yes!
And he actually misses it, but between them, in a split second, between them, they just adjust. And by the time he gets back, the perfect position, and nails it. So like that, I think when you can actually keep that momentum, like that requires such great chemistry between them. I thought that bit was, I was like, okay, now they're really cooking.
And then what happened in the end, shortly after that curb stomp reversal, which still blows my mind, Rollins got the curb stomp for the win. And there was a really nice post-match angle where Seth was celebrating, AJ walked out of the ring, but then he got back in. Ooh. But he just shakes hands with him. And they shake hands. And that would have been like, meh, whatever. I wouldn't really care. But AJ said, off mic, you understand how hard this is for me. I just thought, what a beautiful, that makes this moment feel much bigger.
Yeah, and they sort of, it was like a sort of an angry handshake as well.
Yeah, a very begrudging respect. Yeah.
I really liked, there was some just amazing, like, just wrestling exchanges that went on in that. So it was like, the whole thing had a very, like, it wasn't a fight, it was a two people trying to one-up each other the whole time. And so by the time it gets to the end, they really earned that spot to do the handshake from the crowd, even though you could see it was so telegraphed, they really earned it. And quite a lot of times you see that spot, and I don't think they've quite earned it, but in that moment, everyone knew, everyone wanted it.
Yeah.
It was like they'd so earned that, and the way the match had built as well was, they totally earned that spot. And I think it worked really well, and hopefully it blows off into a decent tit for tat feud.
Well, that's like a after this match, I was excited that they would have the rematch. But now maybe that's why I hated the Brock thing so much. Where I just feel like Seth's going to get absorbed into whatever Lesnar's doing.
Yeah.
And we won't get any follow-up on this genuinely amazing potential
feud.
Well,
this is the worry, because AJ has been used a few times now. He's been put in that spot where he's the relied upon big name for everyone else to get their heat from. And I worry that this is kind of...
Yeah.
He's kind of weirdly taken the Jericho role.
Yeah, that's interesting, considering he came into the WWE with Jericho, really. After that, we got Lars Sullivan beating up the Lucha House Party.
I want to know, can we get a medical update on Grand Metal League?
Yeah, so you were very concerned about rough Lars was.
Yes, because I think Lars comes down, he's so amped to come down. I think he was just overexcited. Metal League does the dive, gets caught, goes for the freak accident, but he hasn't hit it that hard in the ring before, and he just sent him to the center of the earth with it. And the referee straight away was out checking it, and he looked like he was in a lot of genuine pain.
Yeah.
And was still sort of didn't look like he was selling prone. It looked like he was actually considering whether he could actually stand up again. And then he ran in and headbutted Kalisto's horn and cut his own head. It was just all too much. He got very excited. He's like Lenny. He got very excited with the
from of mice and men.
Yeah. He got very.
You can't
excited.
Just say Lenny.
He got very excited and strangled some puppies.
Yeah. We've all done it. You were watching that part. I was more obsessed with, why a Lucha House Party out here?
Yeah, no, I didn't get that bit.
Who are they going to face?
And why were they cutting a promo?
Yeah, Lucha things. I just thought it was so contrived. Well, as soon as they came out, I thought, oh, well, this is Lars Sullivan's time to beat them up.
And also, that was that was the most uncomfortable I've been watching them do that gimmick. Because that was really like, they've also been sent out there to like really hype the fact that they're the Lucha House Party and that they're very Mexican. And that was basically what they've been told. And I was a bit like, oh, I don't think they're really enjoying this.
So of many of the recently resurfaced posts that Lars made over a decade, well, like before he joined WWE, about over 7 years ago, some of those comments were about Mexicans and stuff. And like, look, on paper, if I were to look at the roster and I'd just go, huh, we need Lars to look impressive and beat some people up, Lucha House Party makes total sense. There's 3 of them. They're small. Lars can throw them around. But, and I don't think this was done maliciously. Like, let's put Lars out there. This will be funny because of the comments.
Yeah.
But you should be aware that that's what a lot of people can now make jokes about.
Yeah.
So you don't do this because it'll make you look stupid.
They've clearly got 2 or 5 live people hanging around.
Yeah.
Just get some other ones.
Just get the roster out there. So that was silly. And then the last match we'd talk about, because the next one afterwards was the Money in the Bank men's match, was Kofi Kingston versus Kevin Owens.
I like this match. I just think the crowd were a bit dead for it.
I was a bit dead for it too. This was a lot, you know, it's a long show. It's 3:45.
Yeah, about that, yeah.
So this came just at the end of like the third hour. And I found myself losing interest here.
I think the problem with it was is I think the story was that of Kevin Owens working the back. And I think, because he did the Boston Crab spot twice, I think it was weird that they didn't just immediately go outside and do the powerbomb on the apron spot. Because that they've sold that now for weeks, for what, 2 or 3 weeks on SmackDown as the thing that injured Xavier. And so like, I was like, okay, so that'll be the thing he does. But they never did that. But then I think by the time he did the second Boston Crab spot, they kind of sold the back thing well enough that now the crowd kind of had followed the narrative of the match, but also they were just a bit tired.
Yeah, and after that Seth AJ match, which was amazing.
I think I do think this match is actually slightly underrated. I think it was better than it felt, if that makes sense.
Potentially. I think the problem's far more fundamental in that this would have been an excellent match 3 months net from now.
Because yes, that is true, yeah.
That Kevin Owens turning on the New Day just 2 weeks in wasted so much potential. And if they were patient about this feud and booked them and we got invested in Kevin Owens as part of the New Day, and then he turns in 3 months' time and that's your go-home angle, or like 3 weeks out from a pay-per-view, then this match, you could have the exact same match, but the emotion will be a lot more intense. Just like how Kofi versus Daniel Bryan, like if that was just a match out of context, it'd be a good match. But you won't have people crying afterwards.
Yeah.
But because it had all the context of Kofi coming against all these odds to take him on, then it was one of the best WrestleMania matches ever. Just from that, not from an in-ring standpoint, but just from an emotions side. So yeah, I just think it was a badly booked feud, unfortunately.
Well, it's weird with Kevin Owens specifically, because this is now, they seem to quite semi-regularly play on things he used to do on the indies to try and generate stories. So clearly there's someone in the creative room who knows about stuff he used to do, like when he was part of the Young Bucks, but had all the t-shirts and stuff with PWG, and all the stuff they've done with Sami Zayn. Like these are all, he's quite semi-regularly repeated angles from his olden times, I think probably because some people won't know it. And they're starting them and they're not quite getting to the finish line on them. And this is now the second or third time this happened with an angle with him.
Mm.
And it's just a bit, it's a shame that he does subtly reinvent himself every time he comes back or over time, and every time they hit the brakes at some point.
A bit of a shame. I think it's because Jimmy Jacobs used to be a booker backstage on the creative team. There's a lot of connections there. But of course he was let go because he took a selfie with the Being the Elite guys, because WWE aren't worried about that at all. So that's overall, I gave it 3 out of 5 because it could have been a 4 out of 5 show, I think. But the Lesnar thing really soured me on it. So yeah. I put it down a notch. What say you out of 5?
I think up to literally Lesnar coming out, I was like sort of 3.5, 4. But then, yeah, it's probably about 3.
Cool, so let's have some super chats.
Yeah, we've got plenty to get through. Lesnar has been confirmed for Raw tonight, apparently.
Ooh, so might be getting that other belt.
Interesting.
He gets Dominic.
Could he cash in on Mick Foley before he's even given it out?
No. It's mine. I forgot what it was, his voice.
He
like.
Should exchange the belt for the briefcase, and then everyone else can fight for the briefcase. Nice. There we go.
Jobber JJ says, Bailey Sting winning and flies into the rafters.
Yeah, we've been through this. Simon, are you aware of this person who keeps trying to book?
No, it's not the same person.
Well, now it's taken on a life of its own to annoy me. Someone thinks that Bailey should be booked as essentially the Sting storyline from the mid-90s. She goes emo, comes back in full crow face paint.
I like it.
Okay. Vernon Jeffrey says, with Brock winning Money in the Bank, does that take the majority of the heat off Corbin and onto Brock?
I think Corbyn's got his own heat. Yeah. I think he's got more than enough to go round.
Yeah, but not as much heat as he could have had.
No. Well, Corbyn regularly does get like pops and cheers in matches because he's good.
Mm.
And then they go, after a while, they go, oh no, he's still in jeans and he's talking again.
You still suck.
Sanj TP says, and I don't know if his space bar broke at some point here, but it says, just imagine if the lights went out, came back on with Ali on the floor and Black sitting on top of the ladders. Alistair Black sitting on top of the ladder with his legs crossed with the briefcase. Hashtag housemate Simon section.
Ah, well, I would like to see that.
What, just because they said your name?
Yes.
That would have been cool.
But like when the hanging upside down happened, I was like, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Because at that point, I actually hadn't had it spoiled.
Because
I watched it in kind of two moments.
Mm.
By that point, I hadn't had it spoiled yet. So I was like, oh, they're actually going to do it. He's been doing all these cryptic promos. This is perfect. And then, no.
JJ Bates fault, really. Says nothing but a nice donation from JJ.
Thank you, JJ.
Just Dustin S. Gooding says Alexa Bliss as Raw GM due to concussions? Question mark. I don't think we're doing GMs anymore.
Yeah, there are no more authority figures. This is the new era, and
there's no authority figures, but people do come out under other guises and make matches.
Mm.
So you can call them whatever you want, but if someone comes out with a microphone and makes a match, they are an authority figure.
Yes. Mm.
Jonathan Attile says, I'm a huge fan of Wrestle Talk. Quick question, will Andrade get the push he deserves?
I think he's getting it.
Yeah. Well, it could have been massive if he won the Money in the Bank match, but yeah, I don't know. I can't get my hopes up.
Greg Smith says, wasn't it rumoured of a women's Money in the Bank match being redone on Raw? Perhaps it's changed to the men's now.
Have they done that before? I think they
well, they did that for the first women's Money in the Bank match.
Given that they just announced that Lesnar's on tonight, I feel like they would have probably announced if they were going to do a second to get people to watch.
No, but they love surprises.
Blankomac 11 says, Brock WWE and AEW CEO, why are you so mad, people?
Brock to AEW?
Brock to be both WWE and AEW CEO. I think he's joking.
Why would he be a CEO? That makes even less sense.
I think he's just trying to annoy people by pushing Brock.
Well done.
William Buena says, the new title, a TV title, Ollie is the best, Ollie number one.
Ollie section over there.
Where's your belt?
I haven't even got this trophy. This trophy will be mine. The Wrestle League trophy emoji trophy.
Oh.
And all its £3 glory.
£3 of gold.
We should do like a really serious video journal series, carrying that around the Mid-Atlantic. What was the question?
Is the new title a TV?
Oh, a TV title? No, I don't think so. I think the Legends belt is a good shout.
Hardcore, I think.
Yeah,
definitely. Smizzy says, "What do you guys think their excuse of saying it's okay for Brock to win Money in the Bank?" Also, what are the rules of Money in the Bank again?
But things are so the rule is that you have to be in the match.
Yeah, that
which to be fair isn't an exclusive thing about Money in the Bank matches.
I think they'll make it so Triple H or whatever authority figure put Brock in the match. That's the only way I can see this working.
I guess would this chime in with the if they redo the match tonight? Then there'll be some sort of weird two briefcase thing, and they'll have some really bad promos about contracts and going to the UFC, and it'll just kind of be a bit confusing. But that feels
wild card. Yeah. Blake Carpenter, Ollie Davis, say my name.
Blaine Shoesmith.
Yes, it is. William Buena says, love you guys, best in the world.
Thank you.
So are you, though. Chris Gardner says, join the stream late, so I don't know if anyone else has yet. Do you think it would have been better if Ali had jumped off onto Lesnar to try to take him out, and Brock catches him into an F5?
Yeah, I think that would have been better. But that would...
Having Ali do anything at that moment would have been great.
Yeah. Six other guys who were also stunned in the sight.
How great would that have been if they'd all at that point stood up and then all just beaten Lesnar back?
Well, like the Shield all get up on the
and
ring.
Then, and that's when Corbin climbs up.
True Dill says, what do you think when Michael Cole said, "Oh my God, how is he alive?" with the Almas Sunset Flimp through the ladder? The latter.
I thought it was quite funny.
There were a few annoying Cole calls in that match. There was another one of the Spanish Fly where he freaked out and was like, "What? These guys are crazy!"
I liked Cole when he had a go at the ref, though, for the when Shane did the rope break. That felt fine. Cassidy Lanning, says, thoughts on AEW securing a TV-14 rating on TNT?
Yeah, so this is really interesting. I just assumed they were going to make a sort of PG product, given the nature of their TV deal and wanting to have advertiser. If they've got an advertising split deal, you want more adverts, right? But they've gone TV-14, which... Yeah, means a more mature adult product. I guess that's a really smart move if you want to differentiate yourself from WWE, and makes total sense if Jon Moxley's on his way there, the former Dean Ambrose.
I guess it also makes total sense if what Tony Khan says is true, which it is his company, which is then they're trying to be an alternative. They're not trying to beat WWE, at least not yet. They want to be an alternative, and that is literally the only way.
Jeffrey Pridemore, no message, but thank you for your donation, Jeffrey. Sanj TP says, what do you think of Miz Dad's run-in? Love from St. Louis. He didn't do a run-in.
I know, that's a shame.
But he should have done. He should have been at the
door. He should run in every match.
It was a cage, so that's there to prevent it, but up through the ring.
Hey, cages can't
up
stop
up through the
Miz
ring
Dad.
Like this.
If he slid him out from under the ring. He thought he was getting another chair, but it's just Miz Dad getting dragged out.
Two fists disappear. Tina Keys says, hola, long-time supporter from Seattle. Keep up the great content. Thank you, Tina.
Thank you.
Matt Dennis has two messages. He says, I was at Money in the Bank and the reaction to Bayley winning the title was one of the loudest reactions I've ever seen. Also, Roman got nothing but boos when he appeared. It's as if he never left, sadly.
Can you see a loud reaction? Do you hear it?
I didn't want to say it.
But great, great comment.
Lips says, Brock is a five-letter B word.
Badger.
Bongo. That's six. And Randy Datson's voice
testing
is...
Testing you and you passed.
Yeah.
And Randy Datson's voice is so smooth you can use it as in a TV ad for shaving cream.
This is, you know, this isn't his voice. He puts it on.
Yeah. Have you ever seen... Do you watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Yes.
You seen Stephanie Beatriz talk out of her character?
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
She's got the most high-pitched girly voice.
Are you serious?
Afterwards. I actually talk like this. The real YT says, do you think Roman not getting over because people still think he faked his...
Oh, I hate that. No.
Whoever says that, stop.
No, people have been saying that in the comments and I've deleted every single one. Tomo says, sad that there was no rest holds in the Roman Elias match. That's all I wanted to see.
Well, we don't know that. Reigns could have been backstage
practicing his rest holds.
And Drew might have just walked in, seen Roman on the floor.
actually redid his neck. Sean Turner, this is Bayley, man.
Right.
Bayley has the new belt. Now bury her. Then bring Bayley Sting to light. No. Do it, genius Vince. What is housemate Simon's thought on female Bayley Sting?
I'm a fan of it. I think we should do it.
Yeah.
Watch Screen Grapple.
Shaggy Shadows says, watching Ricochet and Ali Spot was a definite Cyrax versus Sektor Mortal Kombat dream match. I don't know what that means.
You're a video game guy.
Yeah, it's good. That's a good thing.
Cool.
Good. Sanj TP says, what is the best pay-per-view theme of all time?
Oh, what? Like a music theme? Mm. Was My Sacrifice by Creed... 2000 SummerSlam 2000s theme, or was that just a video package?
No idea.
Theme
that was definitely, wasn't that the video package for the
triple threat thing,
and also Triple H's leg injury?
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
When you are with me,
it was definitely the Guerrero music as well. Okay. The package.
Maurice Robinson says, will Becky challenge Bayley to get her belt back? Hopefully not.
Well, who? Sorry.
Becky challenged Bayley.
No, I think move Becky. Although Becky is listed as a SmackDown star, I believe.
Right, Alvarez, not that that matters. Alvarez reported that she was going to be on Raw when she dropped her SmackDown belt.
Well, will they not now do wild card rule? Just they're all going to have a four way sort of for the belts,
not a bad
just
idea.
Kind of protecting each other, attacking each other.
Sure.
But it was wild carding all over the place.
Wild card.
So the count is that'll be two wild cards every week, so there can only be two left.
Yes.
That's what the numbers is in my head.
I want Lacey to come out, and instead of money, it's cards.
Well, everyone's just saying it was money in the bank. That's why there was money.
No one else had money. Why did she have a money gun?
Carmella had money on her outfit.
She does anyway, doesn't she?
She wears that sometimes.
Sanj TP are now ribbing on the fact that I said he didn't have a space bar. Awesome time to have John Moxley debut and take the briefcase.
What, from Moxley?
It's not a... I don't think that's happening.
Tomo says Brock will cash in on Raw and become the new Raw Women's Champion.
Hey.
Kratos.
Becky Nobelts.
Kratos' Forgotten Son says, thank you guys as always.
Thank you, Kratos' Forgotten Son. He's a Patreon.
He's very nice. He messaged me yesterday because he'd forgotten to get his predictions in on time, but he was so nice that I said he could do it. So that
well
was
done. Very good of him.
Judo Judah says, will they do a whodunit angle with Sami Zayn? I mean, it was obviously Brock, wasn't it?
Or was it like a Triple H goon because Triple H and Brock are working together?
No.
I've got no idea. I don't think Paul Heyman did it.
What did you think of Miz Dad's run in on the Indies when he did it the other day?
Oh, I haven't seen it yet.
I know it happened, but
yeah.
I don't think he really did much of anything. He just sort of appeared.
Up or,
yeah.
Joshua Rawlins says, what about this? The lights go out on the ladder match. Wyatt shows up and smashes Orton. Lights out. He leaves and the case is gone with him.
So it does seem weird. Again, see, the thing that's thrown everyone off is the ceremonial nature of Sami Zayn being hung upside down with chains around his feet. That feels like someone doing something creepy. So then to have it just be, it's either going to be confusingly that's happened at the same time as Brock turning up and they're actually unconnected, which is mental. or they're going to claim that Brock did it. I don't know.
Yeah, Lesnar beatdown should just be a guy and rubble over him. Yeah.
True Dill says, what would be a good name for the new title?
It's going to be the Legends title, isn't it?
The
Legends Championship.
I don't think it is. I can't see him doing that.
The Saudi Arabian best in the world.
The oil belt.
Beautiful city of Jeddah. Please visit. Championship trophy.
Cummerbund.
Yeah.
Keith Gilmore says, how many wrestlers does Shane have to hurt before they stop pushing Shane like he's some top talent? I hate watching him.
I don't like watching him punch and kick people legitimately.
That's
not that fun.
Well, it's snuff, isn't it?
We have two more. Angle Kenshin says nothing, but thank you for your donation, Angle. And Samuel Newsom is our last one. It says, Brock is going to throw Seth into the rafters.
Potentially. Well, that was a long wrestle ramble.
That was an hour and 35 minutes.
Hits Bailey Sting.
And that is the debut. But thank you very much for all joining us and for your very generous super chats as well. And please click the videos, I guess, that have just appeared on the laps, but on our desk here. One of them will be Screen Grapple, if you haven't watched it. Me and Simon did that yesterday. It's really funny. I've been Ollie Davis. This has been Housemate Simon. Over there was Randy Andy Datsun. And that was Ramble.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.